Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Special Ed Strategist Podcast, the show where I dive deep into the world of special education, providing insights, strategies, and supports for parents, educators, and advocates. I am your host, Wendy Taylor, and I have a passion for empowering families and students with exceptionalities to navigate the complex landscape of individualized education. And today's solo episode, I'm going to be exploring a crucial aspect of special education. When and what does this mean to review and revise the individualized education program or IEP? So join me today as I dive in. I'm doing something a little bit different today. Instead of just narrating our solo episode, I'm actually answering 20 of my top essential questions that I have gotten over the years from parents when it comes to the IEP process and ensuring that your child's educational journey is tailored to meet their unique needs and goals. Let's do it. Question number one, what is the process for reviewing and revising my student's IEP? So the process typically involves convening an IEP meeting with relevant members of that IEP team, which include you as the parent, educators, special education professionals, and any other individuals involved in supporting the child's education. You as the parent can convene an IEP meeting when you deem necessary. The school can do the same as well. It doesn't have to be on that yearly cycle. So during the meeting, the current IEP is reviewed, goals are assessed, and any necessary revisions will be made. I kind of hinted at this, but how often should that IEP be reviewed and revised? The law states at least once a year, but it can be reviewed more frequently if needed or requested by the parent or the school. It depends if there's a change in a medical situation, there's a change in an academic situation, something's happening or something's not working, and you guys need to come together back to the table, the IEP table as a team, discuss what is working, what's not working, and come up with a new plan to work. The key is individualize. So who is involved in the review and revision process? So your IEP team, again, includes you as the parent. Here's your top tip. As a parent, you are that consistent member year to year to year. So yes, you know your baby very well. You know how they learn, how they communicate, social emotional interactions, forming friendships, transitions. You are consistent. So that IEP does go with your student from year to year. If you change counties, if you can't change states, but you as the parent are that consistent person to be that voice to advocate for your child's needs. Again, with the team, parents, teachers, special education professionals, any other relevant individuals that can collaboratively participate in the review and the revision of an IEP. And I will say, many parents have also asked me, can I bring an auntie? Can I bring my neighbor? Can I bring my sister? Can I just bring a friend to have some camaraderie at the table, somebody that has a second set of ears that can be your note taker? Absolutely. You can let the school know you're bringing somebody and you bring that person with you. What factors should be considered when reviewing and revising the IEP? So there's several factors that should be considered. The child's performance. And I say beyond academic, how are they doing cognitively? Meaning, how are they doing with processing memory and attention? How does that impact academics? What about social and emotional? Are there physical needs, sensory needs, functional needs, communication? So all of that needs to be looked at their through their present level of performance. How is a student performing as it relates to their current educational setting within that time frame or that life of that IEP? Then you're going to look at the progress towards the goals, any changes of abilities or needs, input from teachers, you as the parent, relevant assessments or evaluations, whether that is formal, informal, or state, local assessments, any new information or recommendations from outside specialists or even specialists within that school, building, or district. Great question is, how can I provide input and feedback during the review and the revision process? As a parent, you have the right to provide input and feedback during the review and the revision process. You can share your observations, concerns, suggestions. I would say share them in writing, because there's a section in the IEP, your parent input statement, that then becomes part of the official document. Of course, you're going to have conversations during the IEP meeting, and then those should be noted if that's going to create any kind of change in what we call prior written notice. And that's going to come after, it's a confusing name, but it's actually going to come after the IEP meeting. But as a parent, especially if you have a concern, I always suggest noting it. You can even do a quick video if it's a concern of reading or writing, taking pictures and having that information so you have your evidence of what is happening with your student. So what types of assessments or evaluations should be conducted to inform the IEP revision? So there's various assessments and evaluations that can be conducted depending on the student's needs. They can be an academic assessment, a cognitive assessment, it could be speech and the language evaluation, occupational therapy assessment, or any other relevant evaluations to gather comprehensive information about a student, your student's strengths and challenges. My next question that I get often is, are there any new goals or objectives that should be included in the revised IEP? So again, we're talking about revised, whether it's during an IEP cycle or during your yearly or annual IEP. So new goals and objectives may be added to the revised IEP if the child's needs have changed, or if there is a specific area of focus that require attention. If a goal is not working, then that should be revised. And always, always remember, the goals should be specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. We like to call those SMART goals, and I've provided information about those in previous episodes. Are there any accommodations or modifications that need to be added or modified in the IEP? So accommodations and modifications should be reviewed and updated based on a student's current needs, present level of performance. That is your magic part that you're going to start that IEP with. Parent input statement, present level of performance. These may include changes to instructional strategies, assistive technology devices, extended time for assignments or tests, preferential seating, or any other supports necessary to facilitate the student's learning and participation. Are there any related services that need to be added or modified in the IEP? So related services are, again, things such as speech language, occupational therapy, physical therapy. Those should be evaluated to determine if adjustments are needed based on the child's progress and their current needs. So you're taking, again, parent input statement, present level of performance, that's looking at all of that information to say, is this working? Do we suspect that we need to do something to improve what we're doing? Is there another area that's impacted that maybe we missed when we first developed this IEP? So really having this thoughtful, collaborative conversation to ensure that the services provided are the services that align with a student's needs. How can parents ensure that the revised IEP addresses their student or their child's needs and ability? This is a great question. To ensure that the revised IEP addresses your student's current needs and abilities, it's important to gather up-to-date information from various sources, again, including assessments, evaluations, teacher input, and your observation as a parent. So again, I want you to think about when that child does homework. Are they, if they are a child that takes medication, are they medicated or unmedicated? How long does it take the child, your child, to complete an assignment? What is the time, energy, and effort that goes into completing required work? And that is really important for a parent to report back to the school, because that does impact the learning of the student. So this information should inform the development and modifications of goals, accommodations, and related services. Are there any changes in my child's strengths and pockets of vulnerability that need to be reflected in that IEP? So any changes in your child's strengths, or pockets of vulnerability or gaps, that should be taken into account during that review and revision process. And that information is going to help identify the areas where additional supports or adjustments may be necessary to promote that academic and personal growth. Are there changes in my child's educational placement or classroom environment that need to be considered in the revised IEP? So changes in educational placement or classroom environment should be considered if there is evidence that a different setting or specific supports would better meet your child's specific needs. So this may involve discussing alternative placement options or adapting current environment to ensure an appropriate learning environment. And if you're wondering about placements, check back to the solo episode that I did about placement so that you can be informed if that is something that's on the top of your mind. Are there any transition goals or plans that should be included in the revised IEP? So transition goals and plans should be included in the revised IEP if your student is approaching a transition point. Again, we did a solo on that as well. So all of this is coming together here, such as moving from one grade level to another, preparing for post-secondary education, vocational training, employment. These goals and plans should address the skills and supports needed for a successful transition, and they should start early. Always thinking ahead. Oftentimes at IEP meetings and tables, we're thinking about this current IEP and this current cycle. As a parent, I want you to think beyond that as well. So you're putting your parent input statement in for what you're seeing 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. But I also want parents, I want you to think about, where do you see your kiddo in 3 years, in 5 years, so that if you need to be on a wait list to receive external services, you can get on it sooner rather than later. If you need to start doing things to prepare your child to transition, again, whether it's to the next grade or beyond high school, that you're starting to align services and supports needed for your kiddo. Are there any new assistive technology devices or supports that needed to be added? So if there are new assistive technology devices or supports that could better benefit your students' learning and accessibility, they should be considered for inclusion in the revised IEP. This can range from assistive device for communication to specialized softwares or tools that facilitate academic tasks. If you're thinking, Wendy, I'm not really sure what is available to me in my community and my school district, ask. Many school districts have a assistive technology team within that school district that can come out to a school, they can observe a student, they could sit in on that IEP meeting to better understand the needs and then be able to make individualized suggestions that are available to that student. As a parent, how can you ensure that the revised IEP aligns with your student's long-term goals and post-secondary plan? The revised IEP should always align with your child's long-term goals and post-secondary plan. So again, it is crucial to discuss and consider your child's aspiration, their career interests, their future educational opportunities during that IEP review and revision process. So thinking about future independence, education, and employment. So as you're doing, again, back to that parent input statement, as you're filling that out for how you see your child this year, think about future independence, education, and employment. Have that conversation with your team. Have it documented to make sure everything is in line. So ensuring that goals, services, and supports provided are geared towards preparing your child for those desired future outcomes. Are there any legal or procedural requirements that need to be followed during the IEP review and revision process? So the IEP review and revision process must adhere to the legal requirements that are outlined in our federal law, that IDEA, our Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, and any applicable state or local regulations. Reminder and tip that IDEA is our umbrella. It is our federal law. States and local entities can interpret some of that law. They cannot do less than, but they always can do more than. So it's essential to ensure that all procedural safeguards are followed, including notifying you as the parent of a meeting, documenting decisions, that's going to be with that prior written notice, and providing you as the parent with copies of the revised IEP. At each IEP meeting, you as the parent should receive a copy of your procedural safeguards. If you do not understand them, you can ask questions, and to make sure that you are having your child's needs met, and as a parent, that everything is being followed up to status quo or above. Are there any resources or supports available to assist parents in reviewing and revising the IEP? So schools often have resources and support systems in place to assist with the IEP review and revision process. This may include special education coordinators, IEP facilitators, or other professionals who can provide guidance and answer questions. Also, yours truly, I'm an IEP coach. I often do this with parents. I will look at drafts of IEPs. We'll talk about present levels, how to write them, and go through the process to take those worries to wins. Lots of valuable resources and information for parents so that you do not feel like you are alone. That's the worst feeling ever. Parents also ask, how can we monitor and measure progress towards the goals outlined in an IEP? So progress monitoring is a crucial part of that IEP. It is stating that what we're working on with a student is either working or not working. It is backed by data. If they don't have a raw data collection sheet, how do we know that a child's met or is meeting, working towards a goal? It is not something that I'm driving in the car thinking about and going, well, yeah, that sounds right. I'm going to go with yes, they're meeting their goal. There must be data. If you're curious as a parent, you can ask, I'd like to see your raw data sheet. Now, I will say this, some schools and individuals may look at you like you have lost your mind. But the question then is, how did you come up with the answer and the progress monitoring of my child without the data? So the revised IEP should outline how progress will be measured and what data will be collected to assess a student's growth. It can involve periodic assessments, teacher observations. Even teacher observations need to have some sort of data. What are you observing? What does that observation look like? Check back in previous solos. I went into this and how progress monitoring works. Work samples or other forms of data collection to track progress and determine if adjustments are needed. Can we request an IEP meeting or consultation with the IEP team to discuss the proposed revisions? Of course, yes, you as a parent, we kind of mentioned this earlier, you have the right to request an IEP meeting or consultation with the IEP team to discuss proposed revisions. If you have concerns or suggestions regarding the revisions, it is essential to communicate them and request a meeting to address them. So again, working collaboratively doesn't mean you always have to agree. It doesn't mean that you don't have concerns. It is how you voice them so that you can come together for the benefit of your child. And last but not least, how can we as a parent advocate for our child's needs during the IEP process, whether that's the review and the revision process? To advocate for your child's needs during the IEP review and revision process, you can actively participate in that IEP meeting, ask questions, express concerns, and provide valuable input based on your knowledge of your kiddo. You can even write your questions down ahead of time so that you don't feel stressed when you're in the meeting and then walk out and think, oh, I forgot to ask that question. Bring them in, put them on a sticky note. Put them on your phone. It can be helpful to gather and present any relevant documentation or reports that support your concerns or recommendations. Again, you are able to bring your documentation of how you see your kiddo interacting with their school material at home. If it's communication, if it's physical, if it's sensory, bring that in as well so that the team can really see how what they're learning in school transfers over to what they're doing in the community. Again, we are building lifelong learners, future independence, education, and employment with our kiddos. So additionally, understanding your rights and the special education laws can empower you to effectively advocate for your child. If you're confused, uncertain, overwhelmed, not sure what to do, always ask the questions. I'm here for you as well. So I hope that these questions really helped give you a little bit of guidance, a lot of material, and a lot of references to other previous solo episodes that we can go ahead and list in our show notes. So there you have it, a comprehensive exploration of reviewing and revising that IEP. And I hope these questions and answers have shed some light on the importance of this process and provided you with that valuable insight to advocate for your kiddos' educational needs. Remember, as a parent and advocate, you have the power to ensure that your child receives the support they deserve. Thank you for tuning in to the Special Ed Strategist podcast. Again, I am your host, Wendy Taylor. I invite you to join us next time as we delve further into the world of special education, equipping you with the tools and knowledge to make a difference. Until then, keep advocating, keep learning, and keep supporting for your exceptional learners. If you've liked what you've heard, I encourage you to give this a like and a follow, and come join the conversation over on social at Learning Essentials. Hope this helps make it a great day. Bye for now.